Hello again. We'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Paul Allison. Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Grab your Bibles and turn with me over the book of Proverbs. And we're going to read just a couple of verses in a couple of different chapters here. We're going to start in chapter 22 and verse 28. And the title of this week's message is Landmarks. Proverbs 22 and verse 28, it said, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." And then on over in the 23rd chapter and the 10th verse, it says, "Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless." Now, of course, I'm sure these two verses, you know, had a natural application of, you know, whenever boundaries was set, you know, you should be obedient to that, if, you know, to mark people's property lines. And also, maybe landmarks that had been set up for navigational purposes, you know, so people wouldn't lose their way. But in light of that, when I read these many years ago, I started really getting a spiritual application for this, when it said remove not the, here in verse 28 of chapter 22, it says remove not the ancient landmark, and then over in the 23rd chapter, it says remove not the old landmark. Now, something that had been around a while, had been established, had been proven to do the job, and I got to thinking about how the church needs to be a bright and shining light, a beacon. The scripture said a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we don't do things for our own vainglory, but we're to do things for the glory of the Lord. And then also, you know, he told us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We've got to be different than the world so people can see the way to Jesus. Now, just naturally speaking, if you're navigating, just as for instance, if you're going up our one of our interstate highways, they put out, you know, the mile markers, and they've also numbered the exits, and it's supposed to make navigating easier. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, up one of these highways, even the state highways has got the mile markers, and a lot of times if you're given directions, you'll just get on that road. And what this place, the location, whether it's a store or a road that you turn at, it's right at mile marker such and such, and it helps you to navigate and see the way. And then also, you know, if you're maybe given directions where there's not any mile markers, you may tell them, you know, turn at a certain building or right after you cross a bridge, and there'll be landmarks that will help you find your way. And it's comforting whenever you're, the more landmarks there is and the more detailed directions someone gives you, that it's comforting along the way as you see these particular landmarks to know that you're still on the right path. And the scripture tells us, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So the Christian has to be like a landmark and a beacon so the lost can find their way to Jesus. But I'm afraid that nowadays a lot of the church folks are getting too much like the world, and they don't stand out, and they don't guide people to Jesus. Just imagine some mariner out on a ship somewhere, and the cloud cover moves in, maybe like it did with the Apostle Paul over in the book of Acts. As you look, I believe over in the 27th chapter, whenever, you know, I believe maybe over in the 26th and 27th chapter, and they were up on the high seas, and the cloud cover came in, and the storm set in on them, and they were tossed to and fro, and they even went 14 days, two whole weeks without eating. But the angel of the Lord, hallelujah, stood by Paul. Oh, and he told him he's going to give him all those 276 souls that he was sailing with, going to get them safe to shore. And, you know, they were lightening the load, and was throwing the grain out in the sea, and the tackling of the ship. And it said that way up in the night, said they deemed that they drew near to some land. They sounded and found it 20 fathoms. Then they went a little further and sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And it said, fearing lest run upon rocks, they cast out four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Hallelujah, boy. The Christians ought to be wishing for the day of the coming of the Lord. Oh, and then whenever the day broke, they could see the land. And they said they lifted up the anchors and they hoisted up the mainsail and they made for shore. Oh, and then they run it aground, and the fore part of that ship stuck fast in the sand, and the violence of the waves began to break the back of the ship apart. And then they some of them could swim, they got on to shore, and others that couldn't swim, they grabbed them a board or something, and all 276 of them made it safe to land because of the promise of God, because the Lord had stood by Paul that night. He said, "Whose I am and whom I serve." He said, and tried to tell them, "Hey, y'all take cheer." He said, "I believe God." And he broke bread, he gave thanks, and began to eat. And they took cheer, and they began to eat too. Oh, hallelujah, I believe that we're drawing close to shore. Hey, boy, I tell you what now, we're closer now than we've ever been. I believe by the signs we're seeing, just like there's a sounding and checking the depth, and they knew that the sea was getting more shallow, and they's getting close to shore. I believe we can gauge that we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord by the signs we're seeing. Oh, and it ought to give us good cheer. Oh, I hate it for the lost soul's sake, but I'm glad for the church's sake that we ain't much got much further to go before we land safe in the haven of rest in the arms of the Lord. Glory be to God. But I tell you what, we got to let others see the right way to go, because I'm afraid, just like I was going to say there a minute ago, some of them mariners out on the sea and the cloud cover sets in, and you imagine years ago before they had compasses, and they maybe, you know, they all they could navigate by was the stars. And they're out there on the high sea and there's no land in sight. And the cloud cover is so thick that they can't see which direction the sun rises or sets. And they can't see the stars at night. It would make it impossible to navigate because everything looks alike. The clouds overhead makes the sky totally gray. And as far as they can see in every direction, there's nothing but the sea. The waves are rising and falling. You know what? A lot of times people getting out in this world and they're looking for the way to Jesus. But when they look around, that everything looks the same. They ain't no Christians that's separate from this world that's lighting the way for them. We got to be a landmark. We got to be different. We got to wave the blood-stained banner of Jesus. We got to uplift the cross and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection and our soon coming King. Oh, but see, so many of them now, somebody worded it like this, said the world's getting churchy and the church is getting worldly. And I tell you, whenever Christians talk like the world, act like the world, dress like the world, think like the world, and go where the world goes, they're of the world. Like I'd already quoted, he said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Oh, we got to be separate. We got to be different. He said, we're a peculiar people. We shouldn't fit in with this world. We got to be a landmark. We got to be something that they could see their way to Jesus when they look at us. We got to be there pointing the way to Jesus, not pointing the way to ourselves. A landmark is not the destination, but it's pointing the way. Hallelujah. We got to point our way, point others' way to Jesus. We got to point them in the right direction. But see, people look around. They're looking for a landmark. Everybody's talking the same. Everybody's acting the same. People that don't claim to know Jesus, they don't sound no different than them that claim to be born again, claim to be Christians and go to church, but they talk the same, use the same ugly words, tell the same ugly jokes, watch the same old trashy, sinful nudities and everything on the big screen, and they look at the porn on their internet. Oh, how sinful. But then they claim to be a Christian. Hey, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He wasn't kidding. He was telling the truth. So, I believe that the church is guilty of moving the old landmarks. They've removed the landmarks. They've lied, and these preachers has gotten a pulpit and lied and said, well, there ain't nothing wrong with this and there ain't nothing wrong with that. A little drinking don't hurt you. Well, that's a lie. They say a little bad word, ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody does that. No, everybody don't. Bible says, if any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridle not his tongue but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. He said, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth in the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries or a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It just can't be like that. I'll take Jesus at His word. No man can serve two masters. So you just imagine that poor mariner out there on the sea. Can't see which way to go. Everything looks the same. There's no landmarks. But then maybe way off in the distance, he picks up a flicker of light. Hallelujah. And over yonder's the lighthouse. Oh, reminds me of that old song. If it wasn't for that old lighthouse, where would this ship be? He said, I thank God for the lighthouse. And he said, Jesus is the lighthouse. Well, guess what? We got to show the world Jesus. He said, ye are the light of the world. Now, as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. He said, but I go to my Father and I'll send you another Comforter. Now that the Holy Spirit is in the born-again believer, we got to let Jesus' light shine through us. We got to be that landmark. Just like that old lighthouse out there on that rocky seashore. Keep them mariners from running aground. And let them know which direction to go to get into the harbor, safe and sound in the haven of rest. I remember many years ago when I was a little boy, just briefly, we lived over in Johnson City, me and my brothers with my mom, and I kind of a rambunctious little fella, and I took a notion I was going to go exploring. Mom was over to laundromat, and out to road from where we lived, the other direction, the laundromat was down the block one way, and out the block the other way was a park that we played at right regular. And never had been down past the park there. Well, I just was kind of in an exploring mood, you might say. So I went just trucking along down the sidewalk, and I got down to the park, and right at the corner where the park is, you turn left. Up there just a block or two from the apartment we lived in at the time, and there's a little short column, and I was just a little feller, and that thing was less than waist high to me. And they must have been an old piece of wrought iron that was broke off the top of it, because there's a funny shaped piece of metal up on that rock column that had that concrete slab top on the top of it. And you just turned right there to go into the park. But I thought, I'm going to go straight on up the street, and I'm going to explore. And I went on up through there another block, and I thought, well, you know what? I believe I'll turn and see what's down this street. And I made another turn. And then I thought, well, I'll go on down through here a ways, and I'll look and see, and just explore a little while. Excuse me. Pardon me for sounding raspy. I've been fighting with a little bit of a chest cold. But I was going on down through there, and I remember I got down into a part of town I'd never been in before, and I stood there on a corner at a red light waiting for the light to change, and I had a little walking stick in my hand. I thought I was big stuff. I wasn't about 8, 9 years old. Somebody hollered out the car window and said, "Hey, boy, you lost?" I didn't answer him. I just looked at him. I was a little bit offended. I thought, well, what business is theirs what I'm doing? I'm just out here walking. I went on down a few more blocks, and I come across a young man that was from the neighborhood there and that I had walked into. He's a little older than me, and he had a little more street savvy about him. He was streetwise, and he warned me. He said, "You don't need to be out here by yourself." Said, "Somebody could hurt you. You need to get back home." Well, that kind of alarmed me, and his sun was starting to set, and I thought, you know, he's probably right. I might ought to head on back now. Well, I turned back around, and I walked up a few blocks, and things just didn't look as familiar as they did a minute ago. I said to myself, I thought, you know, I believe I came this way. I'm not sure. And my heart began to speed up a little bit, and I began to get a little bit more worried. And I went to walking the way I wasn't sure. I went to walking the way I thought I should go. It started getting dusky. Nothing looked familiar. I said, I don't know where I'm at. I believe I'm lost. And I got more frightened. And I just kept a walk, and I think, well, maybe I need to go this way. I just ain't sure. And I was walking along, and by now it had grown dark, and I was just moping along with my head down, oh, and weeping and crying and thinking I'm lost. I've went astray. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know which way to go to get back home. And I was just walking along on that dark sidewalk with my head down and tears in my eyes. And it was dark and I was alone. And I didn't know which way to go. But then I looked, and just to my right, as I come to a corner, was a little short column, less than waist high, with a funny piece of metal sticking up on the top of it. It was a landmark. It was that same column at the corner at the park just out the street from home. Oh, my hopes began to soar. I had a landmark. At that point in time, I knew where I was at, and I knew which way to go to get back to the safety of home. Oh, and I ran the rest of the way home. I lifted my head, and I sprinted home. Mama was waiting on me. She had a switch in her hand. She was glad to see me, but she also had to deal out some discipline. She had the law out looking for me. And I remember the officer giving me a good talking to. And then Mama, after the law left, and she took her turn with that switch, and then she also hugged me and told me I'd scared her and made her worried. I didn't care if I got a whooping. I didn't care if the law was there waiting on me. I was just glad to be back home. I was glad that I wasn't lost anymore, that I was safe back at home. What got me back home? A landmark. I had to see a landmark. I had to see something familiar, something that pointed me in the right direction. And that's our job as Christians. We got to be a landmark to this lost and dying world. And they're looking for the way to Jesus, and we got to show them the way. We got to stand out and be different from this old world. So those out there that are seeking and looking for the right way, some of them don't know what they're looking for, but they're looking for something. We know that's Jesus. A lot of people know it's Jesus, but they're just drifting to and fro, not knowing which way to go. Oh, we need to go out and wave the blood-stained banner of Jesus. We need to point people to Jesus. We need to be that landmark. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb of God that points people in the right way home. Oh, don't remove the old landmark. Don't remove the ancient landmark. Churches now has got so worldly. Everybody, you know, they show up there on Sunday if they want to. They show up, and it's almost like a social club. The Word of God ain't preached in its purity and its power. They don't talk about our crucified Savior, a nailed to an old rugged cross, a hanging there in agony, a crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, and he cried out, I thirst. And then he said, it's finished, and he gave up the ghost. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. Oh, but hallelujah. Thank God, 3 days later, he got up victorious, rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We got to tell people about that. We got to tell them that after he arose from the dead, he walked with his disciples 40 more days, and then he ascended on high and sat down on the right hand of God, where he sits at this very moment and interceding for whosoever would call upon his name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're out there today and you're drifting. You're just wandering aimlessly through life. No real purpose. And eternity's a big question mark for you. It don't have to be like that. Let me wave the bloodstained banner out to you today. Let me uplift the old rugged cross today and point you to the right hand of the Father, where Jesus sits at this very moment, interceding for you, waiting on you to call upon His name. He said, enter ye in at straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Just like when I was a little boy, the Lord put people in my path there, and folks sitting in the car at the red light. Hey, boy, you lost? And the other young man, with a more direct admonition, said, hey, you can get hurt out here. Somebody could hurt you. You need to go home. And they got me to turn around. But it still took a landmark for me to see the right way home. Maybe you've been warned. Maybe you've been made aware of your lostness, your lost condition. Like those people planted that seed in my mind, sitting there at that red light, and then just a few blocks on down the street, somebody else said, let me know I was in danger. Maybe somebody's let you know along the way you're in danger. Your soul's in danger of eternal lostness and a literal burning hell where the fire's never quenched and the worm dieth not. Oh, but you could set your sails for heaven. Get into the haven of rest in the heaven of God, in the arms of Jesus. Won't you just turn now? I'm trying to be a landmark to you today. Church, you need to straighten up, brighten up, and shine, and be a landmark to the lost and dying world. And my lost friends out there listening today, please, quit putting Jesus off. You may be waiting for this or waiting for that. But the Scripture said now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. They buried people every day that meant to get right and didn't. And for many, it's eternally too late. Please, give your heart to Jesus. Just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask Him to save you and forgive you, and He will. You don't have to talk Him into saving you. He wants to. All you have to do is be sincere and call upon Jesus, and you'll be saved. And until next time, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.